For our scripture reading this morning, I'd like to invite you to read it with me. So if you would turn in your pew Bibles to page 469, it's kind of right in the center of your Bible. Let's read Psalm 16 together. Page 469. Starting in verse 1, let us read together. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. During most weeks, I try to spend a little bit of time studying at the Lutheran Seminary, in the library at Lutheran Seminary in Mount Airy. It's a quiet place. It's a place where I feel like I can focus and listen. And sometimes I wander outside for fresh air during that time. And in the middle of the courtyard at the seminary, there is this sculpture. It's basically like a round concrete pillar. And on top of it is a cross that is not lying flat or fully upright. It looks like the cross is kind of coming out of the concrete. And on the word etched into that concrete on the in the cross are the words, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." So I often see this because I go outside every week when I'm there, and I've often wondered about these words, why they were chosen, and why they're on this cross. And then when I looked at the psalm reading that was for this week, I found those words. They're from Psalm 16. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Commentaries on this psalm suggest that the reference to boundary lines that are spoken of here are referred to ropes that were used to mark a person's lot. Land lot, so the boundary around the land that was yours. And so, of course, this is agricultural metaphor. This poet who is writing this psalm is using agriculture, the land metaphor, to talk and reflect about God's goodness to them and how satisfied this poet is with their lot in life, literally, but also figuratively. As if to say, what you have given me, God, what you have given me to do, and what you have given me not to do, I'm satisfied with it. It's enough for me, this lot that I have. The boundary lines are pleasant to me. You can almost feel that sort of trusting relationship in the words between the poet and God. Because you are with me, God, and what you have given me uniquely to do, who you have created me to be, I say yes to it. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I wonder what it does to us to be in that space of thanksgiving to God for the boundary lines in our lives. To be able to say in confidence and trust, these are some of the gifts that God has given me. These are some of the things that I can do well and I am called to do. And then there are other things that I cannot do, that I am not called to do or not able to do. The boundary lines of who I am and who I am not, of what I can do and what I cannot do. Because in the poetry of this psalm, the boundary lines are a blessing. The limits are a blessing. It is a blessing to have limits, and it's good to give thanks for our limits. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we are told in our culture very often that limitations are not good. In fact, this maybe we can see a lot of times, and through our sermon series, we worked on this a lot in October. Limitless accumulation is what is encouraged in terms of wealth and what we have. So when we preached or when we did a sermon series in October on that theme, we talked about how generosity is not just about how much you give away, but it's also about putting limits on what you take. That being generous has to do with limitations, because putting limits on what you take is an important part of the work of justice. Taking less so that you're not really taking what belongs to someone else. At least in the understanding of the reign of God, when you take more, you're taking from someone else. I was remembering this great sermon, St. Basil the Great, who was a theologian in the 4th century. He wrote this. He said, "The bread which you hold back belongs to the hungry. The coat which you guard in your locked storage chest belongs to the naked. The footwear moldering in your closet belongs to those without shoes." In the reign of God, we must put limits on what we take because it affects our neighbor and it affects ourselves. But in that understanding, it's we're actually taking something that belongs to someone else. So when a boundary line has been drawn for me about what is too much to take, it functions as a blessing because it serves me well and it serves my neighbor well, who is influenced by my boundary lines. So there are those kinds of boundary lines, and then there are also the boundary lines of our activities and our work and our time. And we are also not told in our culture very often that it is good to have limitations. That is true about money and wealth. It's also true about time and work. Richard Rohr, in his book, which is called Dancing Standing Still, he talks about how each of us, through discernment, can come to know our soul gift more clearly and therefore also come to know our limitations. He says this, "The more we come to know our soul gift, we almost always have to let go of some other gifts so we can do our one or two things with integrity instead of always being driven by what has been called the tyranny of the urgent. Soon, urgency becomes a way of life, and things are not done contemplatively or peacefully from within." He says, do one or two things wholeheartedly in your life. That is all God expects and all you can probably do well. Too much good work becomes a violence to yourself and finally to those around you. Whew, that last line, right? Too much good work becomes a violence to yourself and finally to those around you. Limitations are good. Limits on our time, our strength, our work. We have to honor our limitations. Without the boundary lines, we will do violence to ourselves and others. Now, I do think there are times when life throws suffering at us in insurmountable ways, so that trying to survive and get by is basically what we have to try to do. And we do not choose those circumstances, and sometimes we have been given too much to carry. Overworking, overdoing it is actually all we can really do to cope sometimes. But I think what Richard Rohr is talking about and what he's challenging here is a kind of cultural norm of seeing the human individual as this limitless being. And more often than not, most of us do have some choice in the matter and discernment to do regarding our boundary lines of work and time. And yet I think we live as if God depended on only me to save the world. We become, as someone once said, practical atheists. We say we believe and trust in God, but in actuality, we don't really think God is doing anything. So we overcompensate for God. We see ourselves as the saviors. We overwork, we overdo. I'm a big fan of lists, so I live with lists. I write everything down. On most days that I come to work, I write a list of things that I need to do that day. And I tell myself that the list is meant to help me focus, to prioritize, and keep myself organized. But more often than I'd like to admit, the list somehow by the end of the day becomes a judgment document. So like by the end of the day, I look over at my list and undoubtedly I find something that I haven't done on the list that I didn't accomplish. And my immediate thought is, I failed. I didn't do enough. How does the to-do list turn into a judgment document? That's a good question. Probably something I should talk to my therapist about. I don't have a therapist right now, but you know. I have a spiritual director, so maybe I should talk to her about it. But maybe I need a therapist. Why isn't my first thought to give thanks for the things that I actually was able to do that day? And what about the items that don't end up on your list that were important to tend to that day? Are those unexpected things not also part of our work? I can give thanks for what God has given me to do, and I can give thanks for what I was not able to do. I can give thanks that I have limitations, and that all does not depend on me, and all is not urgent. When I think again about that cross in the courtyard of the seminary and those words that were etched into it from Psalm 16, I think about how Jesus had limitations too. I think about the shape of the cross, the boundary lines of a cross-shaped life. What do I mean by that? The shape of the cross. I mean that there were moral boundaries that Jesus lived according to. For instance, he was not willing to use violence as a means of accomplishing God's will in the world. This is the boundary line of the cross, nonviolent love. Jesus put limits on the possessions that he and the disciples would keep because he knew that having many possessions was a stumbling block to discipleship and God's will of economic justice, another part of the shape of a cross. The boundaries that Jesus put on his life were boundaries that were taught in the Torah from the commands of Yahweh. Limitations were given to the Israelites that they were to live in obedience and love of God and neighbor. And these were the boundary lines for the faithfulness, for their faithfulness to Torah. I wonder if Jesus prayed this prayer ever. He was a big reader of the Psalms. I wonder if he prayed, The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Because he saw his clearing, his calling, he saw his calling clearly, and he knew confidently that God was with him, and he knew what was his to do and what was not his to do. I don't know, maybe he did, but I suppose I'm attracted to this prayer sentence as something I want to be able to pray, even if I'm not quite there yet. I want to be able to pray it. So I want to invite you this week to take this psalm with you, to keep it in your pocket. I printed the psalm out. It's in the, as you leave, you can take a copy if you'd like to take a copy of the psalm. And perhaps especially on Thanksgiving Day, I encourage you to give thanks to God for God's many gifts. To give thanks to God for all that she has given you to do and all that God is creating you to be. Because you have good work to do in this world, and we need you to see how beautiful that cup is, that is your cup, that is your portion, your share, your lot, uniquely your gifts that God has given you. And I also want you to give thanks for what is not yours to do. I want you to celebrate the limits of yourself. Give thanks for your needs. Praise God because you need God to show up and act. You need others in your life. You need the work of other people. You are dependent, you are limited, and that is a blessing. Your strength is not all that God is depending on. Use this psalm as a prayer for yourself this week. And maybe there will be another line in the psalm that will catch your attention and that you feel you need to meditate on and pray on. Maybe it's the line, "You will not abandon me to death." Or maybe it's the line, "I have no good apart from you." Or maybe it's the first sentence, "Protect me, God, protect me." I encourage you to take this psalm with you. Allow God to be your portion, your cup, the one who holds your lot, the one who has given you a goodly heritage, the one for whom you can say, "Thank you. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places." Amen.